It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people. If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
There we go. Hey, hey, hey. It is not JT as he is taking the day off. Long weekend for JT because guess what? Next week, it all starts. All starts big time. So it is Doug Douglas here, and I'm glad to be here just for an hour because next hour, JT has a lot of stuff planned, including his talk that he had earlier this week with Coach Pierce, Sandra Douglas Morgan, and Tom Telesco. So that'll be new content here coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Here's my disclaimer. I think I do it. I know I very rarely fill in, but here's my disclaimer. My disclaimer is I'm a Raiders fan. I'm not part of the Raiders media, really. I've never been to a media session. I've never gone to a game as a media member. I actually could, but I don't. I go as a fan. So I've been going for decades. My cousin was a season ticket holder for, boy, since the early 70s. Even when they moved to L.A., he went and became a season ticket holder there. Would fly down from Hayward is where he lives. So that is my background. I am just a fan, not an insider at all. And I'm only on for an hour. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't worry. But Q will be live at 2 o'clock. And like I said, lots of great stuff at 1 o'clock hour with JT the Brick. But before we go any farther, Bobby's correcting my English. Before I become a father again, wait a second. Further. Anyway, hey, the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic. That features number 13 LSU versus number 23 USC at Allegiant Stadium. Now, as I said, everybody's very, very relaxed this weekend at Raider Nation Radio because starting next week, you know, 17, 18 weeks, hopefully even more, weeks of just, you know, wall-to-wall action. So I will be at Whiskey. That's right by Allegiant Stadium from 2 to 4 on Sunday doing a little pregame tailgating with Modelo. So if you want to come down, check that out. Tell you what, if you listen to ESPN, some here too. Cofield will be there. I'll be there. Who knows? Even JT the Brick may show up. You never know. But I'm scheduled to be there. So that is for the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic from 2 to 4. If you want to get there a little bit earlier down to Whiskey. I'll tell you what, Whiskey, that is fun. I know before the Rolling Stones concert, that's where I tailgated. Before Raiders games, it's a nice place to tailgate. So just a fun time, especially when it's 100+. I know once it cools down a little bit, you can do a little bit more tailgating outside. I guess I'm older now. I'm just not that tough. So there you go. That's it. And here, a special thing. Q sent me this. How about this? This is a special delivery from Q. We can listen to on Unnecessary Roughness coming up in just a couple hours. Today, down at TI, how about this? Treasure Island, have college gear on, go to the Golden Circle at TI and get a free Modelo between 3 and 5 o'clock. Free. There you go. So there you go. It is a Modelo Labor Day weekend.
It almost makes the parking worth it.
There you go.
Almost.
TI, I believe, is free parking. I parked there before. You and I parked there before at the concert, then walked across the street.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is it still free?
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
There you go. Free parking and free beer. What more do you want?
What concert did we go to that we parked at TI because it was free, and we walked across the Venetian, and it
Ringo
was...
Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band, which, by the way, Bobby is my concert buddy. That was a great show.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
I knew every song. I even put up with the Toto guy.
I was kind of surprised. Steve Lukather, who's actually a very good guitar player. Very good. Now, Bobby, do you know what our next concert together is? Unless something pops up.
I would think that would probably be Iron Maiden
next month. Up the irons. Absolutely. Up the irons, Bobby and I, Iron Maiden. I'll be way in the back, Bobby.
Maybe Testament. They're on like September 13th or something at the House of Blues with Overkill. Now, that's a decent show.
I still wouldn't mind going to see George Lynch and Dawkins down at the Golden Nugget.
I'm looking a little more forward to Wasp in December.
Yes.
Playing that whole
Brooklyn
first
Bowl, right?
Yep.
All right, we got to go to that.
Absolutely.
There we go. It's Bobby and Doug's concert talk. I don't feel too out of place because JT does a lot of concert talk, too. You know, I know he's...
He just goes to more of the bigger name Bruno Mars kind of things, and I'm a rock and roller, you know.
One quick JT the Brick concert story. I've got a few, but I'll just do one. One of my greatest memories of JT the Brick and I at a Guns N' Roses show, and Night Train came on, and that's basically my favorite GNR song. Okay. I think it might be his too. So he and I, it was later in the set, he and I might have already had a few Modellos or something of that ilk. And
of that ilk.
Yeah, let's just say we weren't hitting the high notes, but we thought we were singing along. So
y'all got to watch out with that sort of thing, man. Too many people out there got video nowadays.
Well, this was a while ago.
You never know. There'd be some guy in back of you filming the whole thing, listening to you two warbling away. Next thing you know, that thing ends up on Raider Nation's website.
There you go. Viral. Two guys out of key singing at a GNR song.
Nobody's ever seen that
concert before. Yeah, exactly. Usually it's Axl Rose singing out of key.
Hey now.
Hello. All right, but what we do have coming up is, coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have Matt Neverett, now the voice of Rebel Football, and he will be talking about, of course, UNLV starts their season tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
In Texas against Houston.
Uh-huh.
And the big question, and this will be the first question I ask Matt Neverett, who will be UNLV's starting quarterback? We don't know because
nobody knows.
Still to be determined. So maybe he can give us the inside scoop.
Football already? Jeez, I feel like I just got done with the NBA 2 days ago, didn't I? Didn't we just get done with that whole top 10 thingy?
I like that we're finally in week one.
Yeah,
last week
as opposed to week
zero.
Yeah,
I just come on, week zero. Give me a break.
I'm looking forward to some decent college football. They've had a couple games last night.
Yeah,
a couple games tonight, maybe on CBS Sports Network, and then all day tomorrow.
The Colorado North Dakota State game was actually very entertaining, and Colorado did come through at the end. But that was a good game.
Yeah, but I mean, if you guys are like me and you've been itching for decent football, you know, I mean, the preseason stuff is nice, what's the point of that? College football starting up tomorrow. I can't wait.
No, it should be. I know. This is when the sports, that's why a lot of people are off today. This is when sports really kicks in. And I'll say this. Oh, this is the question. Well, here, let me just set up. Then we'll have T.C. Martin talking about the Aces. Of course, Aces, two-time defending WNBA champions. They're right now slotted in fifth place. We'll talk with T.C. Martin. They play tonight.
They're getting a little run for their money.
They are getting it.
Yes, they are. The quality of play in the WNBA, I have to begrudgingly admit, has really actually improved.
It really has. Since the Aces came here, I remember I'd never been to a WNBA game before they came here. I've been hooked. In fact, I'm going tonight to the game. I'll be there again on Tuesday, but we'll talk with T.C. Martin, voice of the Aces, coming up right around 12:40-ish. Now, here's my question to you, Bobby. And you can say, you know, I'm a sellout.
Hold on. Let me make sure the delay's on.
Okay. That's right. Now, you said I
got an over-under of 4 F-bombs per show. So
that's right. Well, and you said as long as you don't talk too long, you can usually control yourself.
I can go almost 3 minutes.
So I am going to the USC-LSU game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the reason why. First of all, you know, it's at Allegiant Stadium. I love Allegiant Stadium. I like football. Neither one of those are my teams.
You got to do the bit at Whiskey anyway, so you got to be there anyway, so you might as well just watch the game while you're there.
Well, that's the reason why.
And it's a sold-out game, by the way, so.
Luckily, I got my tickets way at the beginning. So, and the reason I did is because my friend, Pat, is his name, is a huge USC fan.
Mm-hmm. So, I think you told me about him before, and you guys went to a game like last year or something.
We did. Yeah. USC, Utah, which they lost by a field goal at the very end. But anyway, he's a huge USC fan. So is his wife. They've been playing. As soon as this game was on the schedule, you know, that's where we got tickets and everything like that. So I've had tickets for a long, long time. Yes,
like
it is sold out.
Last season, basically.
So here is the thing. I'm not an LSU fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a USC fan.
Right.
I don't really hate either program.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the USC game before, he said, hey, do you want to wear a jersey? I'm like, okay. Sure, why not? USC, I guess, famously, no names on their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, whatever. What do I care? So now,
good old OJ's number 32 or right. something, right?
By the way, when I was at the campus, like the Heisman's back up there. It was in the.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Whatever. You guys think what you want. I don't disrespect the dead. That's just how I am.
There you go. But so he's bringing me a jersey to wear. So if you see me at Whiskey, I'll probably be wearing a USC jersey.
Uh huh.
Is that stupid? I mean, what do I care? I mean, but. Like I said, I mean, I grew up a Big Ten fan, Michigan, and of course now USC is in the Big Ten, which mm-hmm. I find an abomination.
Yeah, that's not open that kettle of fish.
Right, then you might have to have the delay on for both of us.
Yeah.
But my mom and dad both went to Michigan, so that's why I kind of grew up being a Michigan fan, and I didn't like USC a lot because they usually kick Michigan's butt in the Rose Bowl way back when. But I'm like, yeah, sure, bring me a jersey. So now I'm doing this Whiskey remote
mm-hmm.
for Modelo, 2-4 on Sunday. And I'm going to be wearing a USC jersey.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Wearing
is that a sellout?
No, I can't. And the reason I say that is because, A, you've already been to a couple of USC games in your life.
Yep.
B, you're going with a buddy who's a huge, rabid USC fan. C, do you got any LSU gear? Are you going to go buy some LSU gear?
Definitely
what the hell
not.
Is the point? You know, just wear the damn sweatshirt and have a good time and have a couple of Modelos and cheer for the team. And it just win or lose doesn't make a difference. You're just going to see a football game, whatever.
That's true. Yeah,
it's like when I was a kid and used to go to BC college football games. It's like, I couldn't name one player on the damn team, but go team. That's all. You know, just go have a good time.
Go and have fun. All right. Well, then there you go. I'll tell you what, the first person who, if you're going to Whiskey and you hear me and says, hey, Doug, say something about the USC jersey because you heard it here on JT the Brick Show. I will buy you your first Modelo. Just the first person, because if a bunch of people say it, I would go broke. But the first person, I'll buy you a Modelo. How's that? All right. Now, I, of course, being a Raiders fan, I do listen to the JT the Brick Show a lot. And JT, sometimes we're talking in the hallways. And here's the thing that JT and I both agree on 100%. And it scares the heck out of me. Not that I agree with JT on something.
That would scare me too.
He and I agree on a lot of things, but I have heard him call game one, week one for the Raiders almost the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
or is big.
Yep.
And given what this season needs to be, and I know Coach Pierce has said about it's quarters, you know, mm-hmm. 4-4-4, and I get that. But I tend to agree that this first game in L.A., and I'm not saying the season will be over if they lose because, you know, you never know what will happen in the NFL. But I cannot think of a game one that I've been more nervous about, and I want them to win, and I think they can win.
Yeah, of course.
Than this one right here because I think it sets up that first. If you look at that first quarter, now you go to Baltimore, and, you know, hey, the Raiders have beaten Baltimore and Baltimore a few times when – a lot of people didn't think they would.
Stranger things have happened.
But let's be serious. They're coming off. They'll have had a long week. It'll be their home opener. Then we have Carolina, our home opener.
Which you better win,
which I was about to say, yeah. So you better win that. Then you've got Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland, hey, who knows by week four? I mean, their defense, I would be very nervous about the game.
Cleveland can be tough, but not that tough. And they've got a couple questions over at QB themselves.
They do. But you break it up into a quarter,
mm-hmm, yep.
And if you go four games and the Raiders are 2-2, I'm not shattered. I'm not ecstatic, but I'm not shattered. If you go 3-1, I'm pretty happy. And I think the only way you see 2-2 or 3-1 is, or the easier path, obviously, is get that first win.
Of course.
In L.A., which you would think they would have a good record because it'll almost be a home game. It'll be
traditionally, right. Any place the Chargers play, it becomes a Raiders home game, and that's fine. Yes, I completely agree with you. They have to win this first game. And it's not even just a matter of the 1-0 or any of that kind of stuff. It's a matter of morale.
Yep.
It's a matter of team chemistry. It's a matter of you just want to beat the living bleep out of that particular team, the team you just hung 63 on. You want to go into their stadium, new coach, Harbaugh, blah, 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 Herbert, second coming to Christ, whatever. You want to beat the living hell out of those guys.
Well, and you not, like I said, division opponent, first game. You've got a long trip coming up then afterwards against a team that'll be their home opener with a long week. And do you think it's an advantage that you get Harbaugh on his first game coming back into the NFL?
What I think is an advantage is the fact you're dealing with Justin Herbert with that plantar fasciitis. Now, you know what? I've never had it, but I've watched players through the decades. They get that plantar fasciitis. They do not recover like that.
Right.
It's a very painful injury, and you can mess it up again real easy. Like if Malcolm Kuntz put a shoulder into your foot, or if you had to run away from Max Crosby and slipped. Those things happen.
Yeah.
And this kid Herbert, I mean, okay, he's a great quarterback, but he's a wee bit of a China doll too, isn't he?
He has had some issues.
You know, I'm telling you, you take him out of the game, the wide receivers are untested. You've got a defensive line. Okay, you've got Bosa, you've got Mack, but the line itself, questionable at best. You have a very good chance of beating the Chargers.
And that's what makes it so exciting. And that's why, I mean, there's a few reasons, but I'm actually going to be at that game.
And I'll be sitting here running it.
That is true.
Like in this very bleeping chair.
So you might hear me scream. Hey, that's Doug. Get the bleep button ready.
Well, if you get up in back of, like, you know, Jason Horowitz and go, hey, Dad.
No. I'll be down wherever the fans are. I'm not 100% sure. I do not, like I said, never been as a member of the media. Having said that, that stadium, I know a lot of people here listening are listening, you know, right now, maybe streaming online, maybe in SoCal or NoCal. They're going to the game or something like that. That stadium, I'm so glad that is not the home stadium of where my team plays. Now, I've only been there one time. I was there.
You mean SoFi?
I mean SoFi. Because that is the most. And I'm waiting for somebody. I'll be going to another game there in SoFi because I've got a friend. Oh, I'll be going to the Raiders-Rams game later because my friend lives here. Mike, he lives here, and he goes, come to a game. And I'm going, well, okay. He's a Rams fan. He's got a Rams season ticket holder. And I was telling the reasons I don't like SoFi. And he said, a lot of those reasons are true. It's kind of just barren. It's hard, like, it's hard to walk around. I mean, when you're in Allegiant, you know you're in a stadium that belongs to the Raiders.
Yeah,
I know everywhere. They change it, Chargers and Rams, I understand that. But we saw nothing. I was there for the Boise State game. My kid was was playing on the field in the band, not the football.
I think they already knew that.
But I was just like, this is the most, it was like going to a doctor's office with no feeling. It was terrible. And then I went in one gate. They go, oh, no, you can't come in here. You got to go over there. We had to walk all the way around and go around this pond and everything. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
See, that's the one thing. I mean, that's the one advantage where the Raiders have over the Chargers. You've got Allegiant. You're there. You're going to be there. It's bought and paid for. You're all set. Having to share a stadium with the Rams.
Ugh.
I mean, look, let's be honest. I mean, the Charger fan base, you can count on like two hands, okay? You can't have a huge stadium like that for a team like that, because I mean the Ram fans are just going to overwhelm.
Well, yeah, and yeah. While the Chargers,
well, I mean, but look, whenever they have a Charger Raider, even I mean a Charger Ram, even a preseason game, it's 85% Ram fans.
Yeah, I mean it's something. So you hope that the home field advantage that some home fields have, like Baltimore, will have a home field advantage. That does not happen in week one.
No.
And the preparation is there. It'll be very interesting. And I know I've heard JT many times, you know, you look at Rich Gannon's numbers before he came to the Raiders, and you look at Gardner Minshew's numbers before he came to the Raiders. You know, that's what you need. You just need that little spark of magic.
Let me tell you, if this kid can just take it easy on the interceptions, he's going to give you the balls down. He's going to give you a mobile quarterback, first of all, which you haven't had in about 15 years, last I checked. Plus, you got a guy that can actually throw the ball 20 yards, which also you haven't had in about 15 years, last I checked.
Yeah, it's exciting. I can hardly wait. And how about this? We are now less than a week away to the start of the NFL season. But we are less than, just a little over 24 hours for the start of UNLV's football season. And when we come back, we'll talk to the voice of UNLV football, Matt Neverett, about their upcoming game, season opener in Houston against the Cougars.
Yeah, love linebackers, right? Love linebackers. I like the same thing, man. I thought last year, big growth with those two guys. Career year for both players, right? And they got to take it up to another notch, you know, At the end of the day, our defense runs through our linebackers. I know a lot of talk is about Max Crosby and our D-line, but listen, the brains of the operation is Robert Spillane, okay? And Diablo, now in year four, playing linebacker, looks like a linebacker, moves.
And back on the JT the Brick Show, and we are joined by the voice of UNLV football, Matt Neverett. Matt, how's it going today?
Hey, doing real well, Doug. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we got to because, of course, UNLV opens up their season on the road tomorrow in Houston, and you can catch Matt Neverett's call of the game along with, pregame starts at 3, right? Kickoff just after 4?
Yeah, 3 Pacific. Pregame show will start at 5 local out in the central time zone. Kickoff right after 4 o'clock on the West Coast.
Well, you just threw a lot of numbers at me. I'm already confused. But I know I'll be here, so I will be listening at starting at 3 o'clock. I'm sure you've gotten this question a lot, Matt, and I know you can't answer it, or at least I don't think you can, but the biggest thing about UNLV football right now is we don't know. I know Coach Odom said that it's going to be kind of rotating at the quarterback position, but there's been no announcement of who QB1 is, correct?
Yeah, nothing, at least publicly. In his press conference on Monday, Coach Odom had said that they had decided on the quarterback rotation, however, you know, short or long it might be, one guys, two guys, all three guys, and they said that they had let the quarterbacks know, you know, exactly what the plan was. They said that's nothing that they're going to announce publicly, and we should see a couple of different guys, and no matter who it is, Doug, they've done a great job of getting all three of them ready, Matt Fluka, Hans-Malik Williams, and Cameron Friel. They've been taking just about even reps all throughout fall camp and all through this first week of practices. So no matter who they end up going with, it's going to be a well-prepared quarterback in the second year of the go-go offense.
I'm amazed at how many people are upset by that, but I just don't see why. I mean, the goal is to try to win the game. Why give any more information to your opponent? So I actually think it's kind of a smart move.
Absolutely, yeah. And you'll see this a lot in week one. You'll see teams go as far as waiting to announce and release their depth chart until the day of the game. Now, for the media side, I'm glad that neither UNLV or Houston has taken that path. But, yeah, you'll see a lot of gamesmanship from the coaches in week one. It's almost a cat-and-mouse game as far as announcing the rosters, the depth charts, the starters. Once you get through week one, a lot of questions are kind of answered. But, yeah, it's always kind of funny to see how guys go back and forth here before the first game of the year.
Speaking with Matt Neverett, voice of UNLV football, their game can be heard over on ESPN Radio here in Las Vegas starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Let's talk about it. It seems like, you know, UNLV football, of course, got a lot of steam last year with, you know, having a really good season, almost winning the Mountain West. What are the expectations that you hear? Not from around the program, I'm sure the program, but I mean, just you're out in the community a lot. Does it just seem like UNLV football is more top of mind?
Absolutely. And I think that with the season that they had last year, the best since 1984, that was always going to be what happened this year. Definitely season ticket sales and regular individual game ticket sales have gone through the roof compared to what the Rebels had sold in the last couple of years at Allegiant Stadium. As teams are, or rather fans are starting to catch on to what this team is doing, and they're really making college football relevant again in Las Vegas. And even at the high school level, Coach Odom and his staff have done a phenomenal job of re-engaging a lot of the local high schools and recruiting a lot of the local high schools, because there really is so much football talent here in the Valley. There is an underrated area here in Las Vegas as far as football is concerned, and I've been really, really impressed to see this coaching staff really re-engage a lot of these schools that had been lost over the previous couple of coaches.
Doug Douglas here filling in for JT the Brick on the JT the Brick Show. We're talking with Matt Neverett about UNLV football. It's amazing. I am on the press release thing, and the last, I would say, 5 to 6 weeks, I don't think 3 days have gone by where some UNLV football player isn't a name to, you know, some kind of watch list for an award, which is, I mean, which is a lot of fun because it hasn't happened. And a lot of times you'll see first time ever a UNLV football player fill in the blank. Of all the players that are kind of on these watch lists, give me an offensive one and a defensive one that you find most intriguing.
Well, in terms of offensively, a guy who is the most likely to actually earn these preseason honors when the dust settles and all is said and done, Jacob DeJesus, a preseason first-team All-Mountain West performer at both kickoff and punt returning. He's a returning All-American, a preseason second-team All-American, but he's on the Horning Award watch list, I should say, for the nation's most versatile player. Caleb Herring talked about it in his podcast, And he said the same thing, that that is the most likely trophy to come back for an individual award to Las Vegas at the end of the season is Jacob DeJesus on the Hornets watch list, or award watch list, I should say. And then on the defensive side of the ball, obviously Jackson Woodard with the huge breakout season last year. He's on a couple of different big-time awards watch lists, including the Nagurski Trophy, which is the nation's top defensive player, the Butkus Award as well, the nation's top linebacker, another one that he's up for. But he is also nominated for a bunch of community service awards, and the Werfel Trophy, which is college football's top community service award, is another one that I could see making its way back to the Fertitta Complex when the season is all said and done.
It's kind of cool just to see, you know, all of this being, it just, I think, raises the level of UNLV football nationally. I think that's a great thing that the, you know, those watch lists do. Because like you said, it is just a watch list, so they still got to go out and earn it. Matt, it is week one, and I'm not going to ask for your pick. I know you're on the call, but fill in this if you could. You expect you would be flying back with UNLV football and they would win if this happens. What do you think would be the story of the game? Like, if this happens, I really think UNLV football will get this opening win against Houston tomorrow.
I think if they're able to do what they did offensively last year, which is that misdirection of the go-go offense and the deep vertical shots when they present themselves and really just take care of the ball offensively, that's going to lead them to a win. But I think more so on the defensive side, if they're able to continue to force turnovers and force Donovan Smith, Houston's really hype quarterback, to really have to check down, go through his progressions, that's going to be the real key. Offensively, this team's going to be just fine. Set all kinds of school records in scoring last year and return a bunch of players and have almost upgraded at the quarterback position in a lot of different regards as far as the individual aspects of this go-go offense. But for this team that was tied for fourth in the country in total turnovers for last year, I think that's going to be the big key. It's ball security on offense and then the exact opposite on the other side of the ball. Forcing to takeaways and winning that field position battle, which they typically will because of their advantage in the special teams.
Week two, they'll be back here at Allegiant Stadium, their home opener against Utah Tech. Just letting the fans know in case you want to go out there. It's a great way to see Allegiant Stadium, I'll say that. You know, sometimes budgets, you always can't get to a Raiders game, but, you know, UNLV, you can get in there, see the stadium. Let's talk about the UNLV season kind of as a whole then. Tossing out Houston, tossing out Utah Tech, what's another non-conference game that you're excited to be, on the call of a game for this season?
Well, week three, they go to Kansas for a rematch of the Guaranteed Rate Bowl last year. So that game that was pretty contentious in the bowl game last year kind of resumes this season. So that's one that I'm really excited for. But as far as a home non-conference game, I'm keeping an eye towards October 4th. It's a Friday night, one of five Friday night games for UNLV this year. The Syracuse Orange come to town. Should be a really intriguing matchup. Kyle McCord, their first-year transfer quarterback, was the backup last year at Ohio State. And if he stayed, was likely to start there. So it was a huge get for the Syracuse coaching staff. UNLV playing against 10 teams this year out of the 12-game schedule that have a first-year head coach. Syracuse is among them, and with a lot of the transfers they brought in, that game, which is also Breast Cancer Awareness Night on October 4th, should be packed, and it should be a really intriguing matchup. It comes after the first conference game of the week as well. September 28th, conference play opens up against Fresno State at home. So both teams will really have at least four games down between UNLV and Syracuse, and we'll know exactly who these two teams are at that point on October 4th.
Speaking with Matt Nevert, talking UNLV football here on JT the Brick Show. JT is off today. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. Matt, as you said just moments ago, five Friday night games. I must admit, not that I'm a schedule maker, is that kind of because of the success they had last year? And is it just, does it just come down to because TV and that's why there's so many Friday night games?
Well, that's part of it, and Coach Odom in his preseason press conferences had said that, you know, they look at it as a real opportunity to present UNLV in a primetime game on the national scale, and prior to him saying that, I hadn't really thought along those lines, but it makes a whole lot of sense. UNLV with 11 out of their 12 games this year on national television, which is a program record, they're going to get more exposure at the national level by default, even if they played all those games on Saturdays, but with these Friday night games, really sort of coming into prevalence at the Division I level, especially in the mid-major conferences like the Mountain West, you're going to get national exposure and a lot more eyeballs on your games. Now, it presents some scheduling challenges, but it's funny, Coach Odom doesn't use the word challenges. He told us this. He calls them opportunities. He says every challenge is an opportunity, so he uses those words interchangeably. So he says, you know, these opportunities on Friday night are going to be really good for exposure for the program.
That game, of course, can be heard tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock with pregame Matt Neverett on the call, but here on Raider Nation Radio, people are saying, wait a second, Matt Neverett, that voice sounds familiar. Of course, you call a lot with Russ Langer of the Aviator Games here right on KRLV here, Raider Nation Radio. Just a quick question about the Aviators before I let you go, and thanks again for coming on. They were in first place. It just seemed like a week and a half ago, and now they're struggling a little bit. What is that? I mean, I know it's AAA baseball, so there are call-ups and call-downs, but is there anything you can really attribute to their recent struggles?
I mean, like what you had alluded to is a big part of it, the roster movement, because it's all predicated on what the Major League Club wants to do, and Oakland's made some moves, especially as of late with position players, with Abraham Toro getting DFA'd. He cleared waivers and is down with the Aviators now, and a couple of other players getting hurt. So we're starting to see a lot more movement at the major league level that requires guys getting called up, you know, from the Las Vegas roster. Couple that with a couple of teams in the second half of the season just hitting the cover off the ball, thinking mainly Tacoma and then Reno, who has, you know, been the best team in the second half of the season. Keep in mind, Doug, the first half champion, Sugarland Space Cowboys, will get the right to host whoever wins the second half of the season
right.
In a three-game set coming up towards the end of September. It's right after that Fresno State series, actually, before the AAA championship game is going to be here at Las Vegas Ballpark on September 28th. So really Tacoma and Reno, the two teams to keep an eye out for in the second half as the Aviators are really just trying to patch it together, and especially when Major League rosters expand to 28 at the beginning of September. We'll see some call-ups from Las Vegas to Oakland, and consequently, we'll see a lot of guys from AA Midland getting bumped up to Las Vegas. So that's a look at the guys that we'll get a chance to see next season here at Las Vegas Ballpark.
Matt, I appreciate your time. Safe travels all over the country with UNLV and with the Aviators. And thank you so much for coming on the JT the Brick Show.
Looking forward to it. I really appreciate you having me. UNLV at Houston pregame starts Ted Wing's pregame show at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
All right, we'll talk about, I'll tell you what, I was talking with Matt just before this interview. He loves Raising Cane's. Let's talk about Raising Cane's here because they just celebrated their golden birthday and turned 28 just earlier this week on August the 28th. They're keeping the celebration going by giving away $100,000 worth of prizes, including a chance to win a 10-ounce gold bar. That's right. The prizes are truly golden. Be sure to enter for a chance to win through September 10th at RaisingCane'sBirthday.com to learn more. And don't forget to search Raising Cane's across your social media channels to follow along on all the golden moments. Raising Cane's, chicken fingers, one love. Doug Douglas here. When we come back, a little bit more of the JT the Brick Show on Raider Nation Radio.
I don't think how it play out. I think for us as the staff and our players, a lot of just situational football. You saw at the end of half, I thought it was a great job by our offense to go out there. We scored. We get the ball in the second half. Boom, we put up another seven. We flip it right there. So that's good. And then you had an end of game situation there, right? And we got a miscue by the quarterback, and he clocks it. And, all right, we got to run out there and kick a field goal. So a lot of lessons learned. And I think you really – you know, we put a lot into preseason. Yes, I want to win every game. But you also want to have a lot of learning lessons so we don't make those mistakes going forward.
Of course, that Coach Pierce talking about their last preseason game. Thankfully, no more preseason games. The next time they'll be on the field will be in L.A. for week one. But that's still a little bit away, so let's get to something a little bit here closer. Of course, it's the JT the Brick Show. Doug Douglas filling in today for JT just for now, another 10 minutes. And then at the top of the hour, we'll have JT's talk that he had earlier this week with Coach Sandra Douglas Morgan and Tom Telesco. So that is coming up at 1 o'clock here on Raider Nation Radio. But right now we bring on the voice of the Las Vegas Aces, T.C. Martin. T.C., how you doing today?
I'm great. Diamond Dud, Bad Boy Bobby together. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, and you, of course, will be working tonight. I will be at the Michelob Ultra Arena tonight, but I will not be working. I will be a fan in the crowd. But the Aces do play tonight against the Dream. And, you know, it's all about playoff positioning right now. And right now, they, meaning the Aces, have had some struggles. I must admit, I am not surprised by it, just by the grueling schedule some of these players have had going to the Olympics. And I think one thing a lot of times people forget is it's not just the Aces players that were playing for the U.S. There were other Olympians, too. So a lot of this roster really has been on, let's just say, high alert, working a lot for many, many months. And do you think that, TC, is a cause, maybe a little bit of the reason why they're stumbling right now?
It definitely has. And again, you know, it's a human nature type of thing as well, too. I mean, no other team has got six players that went to the Olympic Games. You know, we had four in Team USA. And then, like you mentioned, Megan Gustafson played for Spain, and then Tiffany Hayes played in the three-on-three as well, too. So, I mean, no other roster has gone through that. And plus, you know, when you look at the first half of the season, you're basically playing every other day because the WNBA is trying to, you know, cram as many games in as they can the first half of the season. You have that 30-day break, and then now you come back for the second half. And, you know, I think it was what the Aces had 16 games in a 34-day span after the Olympics, and that's grueling. I mean, that is definitely grueling. So that's a factor. And then, you know, I go back to the human nature part where, you know, when you've won back-to-back championships, a lot of times you feel that, hey, you can just flip the switch anytime you want. And that hasn't been the case. I mean, being the defending back-to-back champs, you got a target on your back, you know, and other teams have seen that, hey, the Aces are vulnerable. I mean, without Chelsea Gray, they went 6-6. You know, in the 12 games that Chelsea missed at the beginning of the season, it gave a lot of these lesser teams a lot of confidence. And, you know, this is, you know, these are the toughest rosters in the world to make when you only have 12 teams and 12 roster spots. I mean, 144 of the best players in the entire world are in this league. And so you're going to get everyone's best shot. So I think, you know, that has a lot to do with it, too.
Speaking with T.C. Martin, of course, you can hear his call of the game, Aces versus the Dream, tonight over at 7 o'clock on ESPN 1100 AM, 100.9 FM. T.C., tonight's game, let's focus on that really quick, against the Dream, at home for the Aces, and it's important to know this game at Michelob Ultra Arena because we will talk about Tuesday's game here in a little bit, which will be over at a different venue, T-Mobile, but tonight's game, you know, an inferior opponent on paper, and yet they lost to Dallas, even though Asia Wilson, I think, had 42 points. What key factor do you see for tonight's game the Aces must really lock in on?
Well, you got to remember, too, Doug, you mentioned, you know, Dallas, you know, beating the Aces. They had seven wins coming into that game, but that's a little bit skewed because they had the most injuries to their starting core during the first half of the season. They're completely healthy. So Dallas is now looking like the playoff team that they've been in years past. They scored 113 points two nights earlier against L.A. before the Aces played them. And then, again, you know, the Aces pretty much kind of controlled that game to a certain degree up until the end. And the last 2.5 minutes, they made some uncharacteristic mistakes on the defensive end and lost the game 93-90. Atlanta beat the Aces already, you know, one time this year.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, both of these opponents of the Aces, you know, have lost to recently. The Aces have owned them. So you got to be aware of that. And especially Tanisha Wright. She is the head coach of the Atlanta Dream. And there's kind of a little personal rivalry there because, remember, she was Bill Laimbeer's assistant here in Vegas for many, many years. And then she got the job in Atlanta, and Bill Laimbeer's GM, Dan Padover, took the job in Atlanta and took Tanisha with him. So you got to remember, Atlanta knows the Aces very, very well, and they've had some inner battles. This is also the team that Asia set the WNBA record with last year, if you remember, 53 points. And Atlanta didn't take too kindly to that. And so the first time, you know, they faced them this year, you know, Atlanta defeated the Aces. So Aces have more talent. There's no question. You know, Becky has been very liberal with giving them time off and not practicing. So they've had, you know, two official days off here. So I expect them to come out, you know, tonight. But Atlanta can be a very pesky team. But, you know, pretty much in, you know, matchups past, the Aces have matched up very well. Asia's performed very, very well. So I think the Aces should be ready to go tonight. And if they're not, then we got some major questions that we just got to start asking ourselves.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, though, the Aces are in the number five spot, so still a long way to go, but they trail Seattle, and that would be the first-round matchup, would be Seattle versus the Aces if things held. Like I said, still a whiles to go, and it's amazing, like you said before, certain teams, I mean, look at the Fever really have caught, you know, have gotten hot lately, and like you said, the Wings now with some injuries coming back. L.A. just beat the Liberty, and like I said, the Fever just beat Connecticut a little bit ago. It's amazing to see the parity. It's kind of a nice thing in the second half so far. You know, some teams that you thought, well, they're out of it, they don't have anything to play for, are coming up and beating some teams that have been very good, especially through the first half of the season.
No, there is a lot of parity in this league. And like I said, anybody really can beat anybody in any given night. That's an old cliche, but that really, you know, rings true. And especially, you got to remember, every team, you know, has at least one or two all-stars, you know, on their team. It's just how they gel together and how they put it together. But from the Aces standpoint right now, you know, the concern that I have is that, you know, and Becky's too, is they just don't have that consistency. One player, and she happens to be the greatest player in the world, and she's going to win the MVP again this year, is Asia Wilson. She's really been the only one that's been consistent, that you can count on her night in, night out. The guard play has been a little bit spotty. There's been some nagging injuries. You know, Jackie Young has been pretty much hampered all year with an injury. She's fighting through it and playing through it. And, you know, with Kelsey Plum as well, too. There's just been some inconsistency on both ends of the floor with that. Tiffany Hayes, who could be the sixth player of the year, and the Aces have a lot of history of winning that award. She has been fantastic. But really, when you look at it, Doug, it's really been Asia and maybe Tiffany that have really been the most consistent. And when you only got 10 games left to go and you're sitting in the five spot like you're talking about, I mean, you want to win as many as you can, because you really want to avoid the four spot, because that would mean you're facing the Liberty. We expect that to be the final. You don't want that really in the semifinal round. And like I said, Seattle's an improved team. That could be pesky. So I think if the Aces get in the top, you know, three, which is still very, very doable, because they got two games against Connecticut, who holds a second seed right now. They've always matched up well against Connecticut. And then, you know, Minnesota has been played lights out as well, too. So, you know, Aces may be able to catch them, but they just need to get hot right now.
Yeah, it's amazing watching Minnesota and how they've really caught fire, too. But it makes for a very exciting time, because, you know, you start looking at those possible playoff matchups. And a lot of people don't know, and we're speaking with T.C. Martin here of the Las Vegas Aces here on Raider Nation Radio, JT the Brick Show. The first round is 2 out of 3, and the better seed gets the first two games. So, in theory, the deciding game could be at the lower seed's house, right?
Right, exactly.
Which is amazing to me.
It's really never – yeah, it is. It is. And the WNBA has been doing that, you know, for travel purposes, to again, to try to get that those first-round games, you know, done as quickly as they possibly can. So they figure, okay, you know, if you have a higher seed, you get game one, then you get that game two. Well, if you drop one of those two games, well, hey, you're leaving the door open for that lesser seed. But a lot of these, you know, 2 out of 3s never even get to a game three. So I can understand why they do it, and I really don't have a problem with it. But, you know, the Aces were hoping to avoid, you know, even going through that, because if they get a top four seed, then you eliminate that round altogether.
TC, Tuesday's game, of course, the Aces have an away game on Sunday. They'll be in Phoenix. But Tuesday's game is a special note, another game that they've had over at T-Mobile Arena, which, of course, is a great atmosphere. Also, they're playing the Chicago Sky, which, you know, you talk about teams that have rookies. Chicago Sky have a pretty good one, too. But what is it, the different feel that you feel when a game's at T-Mobile as compared when it's at Michelob Ultra?
You know, playing at T-Mobile, you know, for the players is very similar to playing in some of these other large arenas. So, to me, it doesn't feel any different than when you go to Phoenix or you go to Seattle or you go to Brooklyn, you know, for example. But the difference is, instead of 10,000, you know, screaming Aces fans, you know, you've got 17, which is very, very cool. And what Mark Davis has done, and just kudos to him, I mean, ever since he took over, he wanted to make this very, very affordable and get as many people in the building. And that's why, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, the Aces have not raised ticket prices in Michelob Ultra. And when they decided, you know, hey, we can have these games at T-Mobile, and a lot of the times too, Doug, you got to remember that Michelob is booked for conventions and concerts that are booked, you know, many, many years in advance. So every year at about this time, the Aces are getting kicked out of the arena to go to T-Mobile because they have the Toyota convention that comes to town there. So it's not so much, oh, Chicago's coming to town, we want to draw more people. That's really not the case here. But when Mark Davis is done, he's made those tickets very, very affordable. And you can go, you know, sit in the 200 sections for as low as $10, which I think is very, very cool. And because, as you know, the Aces have sold out every regular season game, and there's, you know, nearly, you know, 8,000 season ticket holders. So it's really cool when you play in a bigger building like that, that these fans get a chance to experience it. And the Aces have showed up and showed out every time they played in T-Mobile Arena. So it just creates a great, exciting atmosphere. You know, it's a little bit different, you know, the sight lines and everything, because it is bigger than Michelob Ultra, but the Aces have thrived there.
TC, we thank you much. We're up against the clock, but I will see you tonight. I'll wave to you and have a great call in the game. And once again, you can listen to that game tonight on ESPN Radio starting at 7 o'clock, ESPN 1100 AM, 100.9 FM. Thanks a lot, TC.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. And like I said, JT the Brick coming up at 1 o'clock with his talk with Coach Sandra Douglas Morgan and Tom Telesco. Don't forget, you can join me, Whiskey, Sunday, 2 to 4 o'clock, the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic. I'll see you then on Sunday. Until then, thanks, Bobby.